Peter. Thank you. Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you. I want to speak this morning from 1 John. That's chapter 4, and I'm trying to follow it in your series of New Testament letters I believe you've been looking at. And but let me just tell you a little bit before about myself before I read the word. Yeah, I was thinking of a title actually for what I was going to say today, because the section of scripture I'm going to be looking at talks about God's love and our love for the world. So I was thinking of a kind of catchy title, and I couldn't think of one really. And then I thought of the old Beatles song, All You Need Is Love. Somebody bought me a plaque to go in our kitchen that said, All You Need Is Love and a Dog. And that was true, because recently we got a dog for the first time. Anybody people here got a dog? Oh, well. Well, I have three children, three grandchildren, one wife, and one dog. And I love my dog. And I go home, if I've been out working with Compassion, and I open the door and I shout, I love you. And my wife shouts back, I love you. And I said, I wasn't speaking to you. But, I you know, one of the privileges I have in what I do is I work for an organization. How many people have heard of Compassion? Just raise your hand if you have. But what I love about it is I get a chance on Sundays to come and meet with good people like you. And, it restores my hope in the local church, because we're the expression of the body of Christ in our community, and if we are not that expression, if we're not salt and light, if we're not the love of God to this community, the question is, who is? So there's a great responsibility on the people of God that we recognize that God has called us to be something really quite special. And as I go around churches, that, you know, part of what I want to do is just encourage the church, because I work with churches that are involved with children in developing countries, in poor countries. And I have to say, folks, I've seen some, you know, tragic sights, and I'm sure we all have, even in our own country here. But when you go to some of these nations and you see some of the needs, I just find it so humbling. And I just thank God that there is hope. And these people, so many of them love the Lord Jesus. They don't have much else, but they've got hope. And we've got so much in comparison. And sometimes we do forget, don't we, that we've got this amazing hope and life that's within us. Anyway, I don't want to be heavy this morning. I really want to try and take the word and inspire you. Don asked me to speak from this passage, and I'm so grateful that he mentioned this passage, because it really does, it stirs me afresh. And the Word of God's got to daily refresh us and daily stir us. We mustn't read the Word as if it's some sense of duty. Kirsten was talking about prayer there, that, you know, praying has got to be the sense of excitement and adventure, not a sense of duty. It's got to be a recognition that we're actually communicating with the living God. Do we believe that when we pray? Do we believe that we're communicating with the living God? And through Don asking me to speak from 1 John, I just saw some stuff afresh. I just want to share for a few minutes with you that I hope will just encourage you and inspire you. So the writer of 1 John is the same John that wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the book of Revelation. It says that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. I'm sure he loved all the disciples, but it makes reference to this John. And it's reckoned from scholars that he probably was quite old at the point of writing this. And he was writing it to churches. He was possibly staying in Ephesus. That's just conjecture. But he was writing to the church because there was a lot of false teaching around. And he wanted to affirm the truth. You know, so often we need the truth. We've heard so many of these verses. Again, Peter was talking about, you know, John 3:16, God so loved the world. Oh, yeah, I know that. But sometimes we need a fresh revelation of God's word. We need to hear the word afresh again. And I want to read to you from 1 John 4. I'm going to read from verse 7 from the NIV. If you're following this, I'm just going to read several verses from verse 7. So it says, "Dear friends," verse 7, "let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God shows his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." Verse 10, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Verse 13, "We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love." Verse 16, "However, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." John is repeating this over and over again because he does truly want to get the message of the love of God for us and how and what we have to do with that love. Verse 17, "In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him." And it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear," or phobia, some translations may say, "because fear has to do with punishment or judgment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Then I want to home into two verses in a moment. Verse 19 says, "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For everyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us," verse 21, "the command, whoever loves God must also love his brother." And folks, there's so much to unpack. When I first read that, and I said, "God, you know, speak to me from your word." And so much comes out. We don't have time to unpack it all today. But I want to challenge you with just a couple of things, which, you know, I'm quite a practical guy. You know, I like to look at the word and think, right, what can I do with that in my life? How can it manifest itself in what I do every day? And I want to just challenge you, if I may, today in the way I believe that the Spirit of God challenges me. And the first one really is verse 19. It says, verse 19, "We love because he first loved us." You know, I think sort of liberal church tries to sort of normalize our Christian existence, but we're people of the Spirit. There's something quite spiritual and profound in those few words. We love because he first loved us. And what that really means to me is that, folks, it's vitally important that we've got this vertical relationship in place in our lives, like a flowing relationship that we can then love other people. What it's saying there is it's really impossible to love others unless we experience the love of God. How do we experience the love of God? Well, I believe we experience the love of God through a daily revelation of God, that we are with a sense of expectation. You've seen the faces of new believers who are in expectation of what God is going to do. And then we get saved and we're Christians for a while, and that kind of level of expectation starts to drop, and we perhaps don't expect God to move. But folks, I want to challenge you in our daily lives, you know, that we have a responsibility to experience the love of God every day, not just in word in our head, but as a revelation. And that can only come through prayer and the word. Oh, could it not come some other way? Could it not come through some tablet that we can pop or some TV program we can watch? But you know, I'm in awe of the greatness of God, to be able to be in his presence, to say, God, could you? And I did this with this passage, folks. I did this, and I encourage you to unpack this a little bit in your private. We're so busy. We've got so much on. It's very hard at times for us to carve out time to allow the revelation of God's word to impact us. And then we can tend to read the word, can't we? And it's just kind of can be a bit of a labor at times. But I want to encourage you to do what I do now. I've been in ministry pastoring for 30 odd years, and they've been odd years, I can tell you. But you know, in that time, I've seen the need to keep this relationship, this vertical relationship, fresh every day. I'm not a super spiritual person. I'm not a person who reads the word as much as perhaps I should or could. But I recognize that apart from this relationship, I can do nothing. And I pray and I read all week. I must have put hours of prayer and reading the word into what I'm saying today. You might think, well, it doesn't show. But let me tell you, it's through absolute necessity to have the power of God just get me through the day. And I want to encourage you in this reading of this word. We love because he first loved. That we cannot actually love the people around us, our wives, our children, our community, unless we experience the love of God. We need a revelation every day. And that only comes, folks, through prayer, through saying, God, I can't do this unless you speak to me and stir my life and excite me afresh with your word. Maybe that's not happened for a while for you. But it can happen every day. We're people of the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God is in us, and apart from the Spirit, we can do nothing. So that's the challenge. That if we want to extend love, then I truly believe we've got to experience the love of God. What is love? What is love? Love's, we hear the word a lot, but I'm not sure we really know what it means. In this context, it's from the Greek word agape, which means unconditional love. It means, immeasurable, incomparable love that God... We can't really comprehend the love that God has for us. But, you know, that love, as it moves through us, can channel out and touch other people. The other verse I wanted to mention was verse 21. It says, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. But it says just before that, this is a command. It's an instruction, folks. It says, anyone that loves God must love their brother and sister, must love the people around about them. Well, that's a bit strong. You're telling me I've got to love people? You know, it's okay, me and God, but people, you know, I mean, that's pushing it a little bit far. But that's the natural manifestation of our love in our relationship with God, that we've got to get it away. As we get it away, guess what happens? We get more. And as we begin to surrender our lives and serve the purposes of God, then we get more of God. And that's my experience, folks. That's my experience in life. That as you give it away, God gives you more. In my relationship with my children, you know, I just want to pour my love onto my children, onto my grandchildren. I want them to know the love I have as being characteristic of God's love. And as they absorb that, then it impacts their lives and it changes their lives. What we love and how we love has amazing impact on the community of people. There's a passage in Galatians, you don't have to turn to it. I want to, you know, this talks about sowing love. It says, Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Then it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So this love, God is loving us. We allow God to love us. We're overwhelmed with that sacrifice of his son on the cross. It's got to move us. It's got to affect us. It's got to change us. Because if it doesn't, we can't go into our communities and tell people about the love of God if it's not impacting our lives. You know, I have people say to me, and it's no great compliment to say to a Christian, they say, there's something different about you. And they say there's something strange about you. Yeah, that's one thing. But when they say there's something about you, tell me what it is. And when you can do that because the love of God is flowing through you, I we're a conduit. 2 Corinthians says that we're ambassadors of God as if God were making his appeal through us. It's us. This conduit of God's love moves through us. Some of you don't look too convinced about what I'm saying, but let me assure you that as we open ourselves up and let the Spirit of God impact our lives, I believe what we touch is impacted. And I believe it can be impacted in two ways. This love, what is it? I believe it's something we can do in word, and it's something we can do in deed. Our words really matter. Do you believe that? Do you believe? I came in this church today, and several people came up to me and said, "Are you Adrian? I'm looking forward to coming." Kind words matter. Words of discouragement have a big impact in our lives. I want to tell you a quick story as I draw you to a close. I was 13 years old, and I'm one of four boys. And my parents were born overseas, and we had family coming from various places. We were having this gathering, so we were sitting in this big circle with my three brothers, my mother, and his relatives at a Bible study, and people said, "Tell us about your boys." And my mother, God rest her soul, said, "Oh, this one, he's doing well at university. This one, he's doing okay. This one," and it came to Adrian, "he's the stupid one." Now, my brothers were roaring and laughing because they said, "My mom was telling the truth. Yeah, he is the stupid one." But let me tell you, as a 13-year-old boy, hearing your mother say, "Adrian is the stupid one," how many people know what an impact that is on a 13-year-old boy? I remember to this day, I'm 60 years of age, and I can remember Adrian is the stupid one. Five words that had a massive impact. Imagine if she turned around and said, "Adrian, he's the apple of my eye." Or, "Adrian, oh, he's going to go places." Or, "Adrian is stupid." No, she said, "Adrian's the stupid one." And I remember leaving with a kind of burden on me, which I said, "I will never do that to my children. I would never." Now, my mother loved me, and she so much of what she did. But those words undid so much. And listen, folks, people have had a lot worse. I'm not here saying I had it hard. I didn't have it hard. But it was just my words and an impact. Imagine the power of our words if we spoke to our loved ones, or our family, or our neighbors, if we affirm to people the love of God. Because he loved us, we can then love. Just words of, "Oh, your garden looks fantastic, Mr. Smith, Mr. Brown." Mr. Brown's been knocking his planet out all week, and not one person said how wonderful his garden is, but you have. He's been wanting someone to say something kind about his garden, or the fact he's washed his car, or whatever else it might be. So folks, love has to manifest itself in word. But it also has to manifest itself in deed. Indeed. How do we manifest love indeed? Now, you know, we could make a list here, but it could be something simple. And I don't want to cause any division between husband and wife. It could be somebody buying their wife a bunch of flowers and say, "I've been thinking about you today," or a box of chocolates, or a car, or something for a neighbor, or it could be serving in the community somewhere. It could be the food bank. It could be the spring cleaning in the building. Whatever it is, an act, a deed of love that advances the kingdom of God. Folks, we must not despise our deeds, because it's a manifestation of this relationship that we have. I hope you're with me today. I hope you can just understand. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me because my words matter. My actions truly matter. And I know that any acts of kindness, any deed that I can do, will bear fruit. And because we're the kingdom of God, because we're the expression of the body of Christ, whatever we do in the name of Jesus, then this body, to one another, to our families, and to the community around us,
makes a fucking difference. It does. It sows seed. It creates growth in the hearts and lives of people. And they come to you one day and they say, that thing you said, that thing you did, I just can't forget it. Can I speak to you some more about it? And then you start to tell them about the one that's given us this love and hope. And then they want it, folks. They want what we've got. Don't ever underestimate the fact that there's people out there that don't know Jesus. They want what you've got. You just got to look like you want it yourself. That's the challenge for each one of us.
So, deeds. I was in Uganda a short while ago, and God spoke to me about an act of kindness that he wanted me to do. Timothy, can you put that first picture up? And I went to this project in Uganda, and I saw this little guy. And one of the things we do in Compassion is, apart from child sponsorship, and I've brought children from a country called Togo, which I discussed with Pastor Don. And Togo is one of the poorest countries in Africa, highest mortality rate in Africa, population of about 7.5 million, very needy. But I was in Uganda, which is on the east coast. This is more west Togo. And you know, you ever get this moment where you see something and God sets you up and you think, God, are you in this? And I saw this little boy, 17 months old, and I just foolishly said to one of the guides, is this little boy got a sponsor? And honestly, folks, God really stirred my heart. I didn't know where the other sponsor, and he came back and said, no. I said, well, look, I need to text my wife to ask her if she'd be okay if we sponsored the third child. I'm very sponsored a couple of kids. And if you knew my wife, if I text her in the next room, I probably wouldn't get an answer to this tomorrow. So I text her, and I said, could we sponsor the third child? And I'm waiting, and this little boy is just standing there. So I thought, I'll sponsor him anyway. So I prayed for a moment, and I got this vision, folks. You can imagine this. This is true. But could we afford this act of kindness, this deed of love? And I got this vision of a Cossack cup. And you may think, why would you have a vision of that? And it's because God said to me, you drink far too much Cossack. And I just had that picture because I think all the reason why I couldn't sponsor this to a child. And I realized that if I stopped drinking 2 medium lattes a week, I could change that little boy's life. Can I show the next picture, Timothy? So I sponsored him, and about an hour later I got this text from my wife that just said, okay. Never told her what I'd done. I did confess it when I got home. And I said, look, I don't know why you brought this little boy to me, Lord. I don't know why, you know, I want to impact his life. And the work that we do is very much a holistic work. We want to see children in poverty fed and clothed and educated and saved, because many of these families aren't Christian families. So, we plug them into a Christian environment so that we look at the holistic needs of these children. So I said, could I meet his mother and family? So they took me to meet the mother, the next picture, Timothy. And then I realized why God had shown me this picture. And it was because that's Joshua on the left, and this little boy, his name is Eric, he's 4 years old. He's found in the stable, cerebral palsy. He can't walk, he can't talk, they have to mash his food. And you have to understand, folks, this is in a place where there's no national health service, there's no free schooling, if you like. And I thought, could I buy this little boy a wheelchair? But there's no terrain, there's no footpaths, it's all mud there. And I realized then, in helping Joshua on the left, I can help. It has a ripple effect, and I can help the family. And, you know, I'm holding this little boy who just sits in a room all day because there's no physiotherapy, there's no health package put together to meet this little boy's needs. He just sits in a dark room. I thought, oh God, you need to help me understand why you brought me to this situation. And it was a realization that for a couple of cups of coffee a week, I could impact this family. But I couldn't help but feel the love of God. I couldn't help but want to love this family. So we sponsored this little boy, and they live in this hut, which I think you can see here. It's quite a good house. This is, they rent this, and there's six of a family. There was seven, but the 6-year-old daughter was knocked down a few months before we got there and killed, not bound by a motorbike. And you just think, oh God, these people have got hope because they've got Jesus in their hearts, in their lives. They're a Christian family. But I can make a difference. My wife, we can make a difference because we've got the Spirit of God within us. I just want to, it's the word I want to commend to you this morning. If you want to sponsor a child, I've got children there. And that would be wonderful if we could get any of these children. I've got 12 children that have similar stories to Joshua. If we could give up our coffees and we could sponsor a child, praise God. But the more important thing is what we do with this word. That we allow the love of God, this conduit, this cross really, this vertical relationship to be sustained in order that we can develop this horizontal relationship. And that, I've already spoken about what that relationship is like. It's to the family, it's to the church, it's to the nation, it's to the nations around the world, it's to needy people. We can do it because we have the Spirit of God in our hearts. Appreciate you listening to me, folks. God bless the work here. A great sense of God's anointing on this church when I walked in today. And I want to just close with just a 4-minute video of a story of a boy who's now a man. His name's Richmond. He was sponsored by a 15-year-old girl who was obviously had by her parents to sponsor him when he was 5. And I just want to show you that when we invest in sponsoring children, the whole idea is that we don't just give them a fish for a day, but we teach them to fish, which feeds them for a lifetime. And that's very much the ethos of the work we do. We want to equip these children with the vocation, the qualifications, so they can give back to their country, so they're not dependent on other people. And this is the story of Richmond, 4 minutes long. I'd like to close. I just want to pray, bless the work here. If anybody wants to see me afterwards, I'll be out at the table there. Father, bless the work here. Bless the leaders of this church. Pray you stir their hearts afresh as they endeavor to serve the person of God, Lord, to see the kingdom of God grow. Father, I pray this church would grow spiritually, numerically, Lord, that your favor and your blessing would be on this church, but that we would never forget that we are who we are because of the love of God, the power of the Holy Spirit in us first, that we can then extend that to bless the life of us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.